try to, I don't know, get it through the position. We are looking forward to trying to see if we can do that.
Just a quick question about mixture. What kind of mixture is it, just uniform?
No, no, so you, there is a certain probability to find the target on the first pitch search and on the second search and on, et cetera. So basically these probabilities are the mixing probability.
I think you were the next.
So just to comment on what Rich said. So isn't it possible if you have your component walled distributions that are go into your mixture, if they're far enough apart, then you could get bimodality?
That's what I'm saying. By mixing these distributions, perhaps you could get something like this. Yeah, it definitely will be a nice challenge for our model, surely.
Have you actually started looking at the false alarm problem? Because the my experience with that is when false alarms occur, they're fairly flat, but anything that makes them, could make a mistake on every decision, so instead of a bulb, say a diffusion, is obviously going to predict as you make more decisions that the false alarm rate goes up. So have you explored that yet?
Well, we collected new data sets and some other experiments, and we are beginning to look at it just now because we just now run the experiments. So one thing we think that we will have to do is we'll need to model the identification as a race, some kind of race model, instead of perfect. And then we might need to change also the shape of the distribution. So we're currently looking at this. I hope I will be able to tell you in a few months.
When you think about the stopping rules, do you think it's important to distinguish between cases where you have a limited response window and an unlimited one? Because when you have an unlimited response window, the optimal thing to do is just to do an exhaustive search. So what's the rationale for actually...
Sorry, I didn't
When you have a limited versus an unlimited response window, so if you have unlimited time to respond, the best thing to do is just to do an exhaustive search through all of the items. So what's the rationale for doing
that? It depends what you mean by the best thing. So generally, subjects want to terminate the trial. They want to do the experiment quickly. Okay. There is a cost of time. Also, in practical terms, there is a difficulty to implement this perfect memory idea. People assume that when the set step is allowed, people don't have perfect memory, so they keep returning to the same instructors again and again. So it is not
so it's
complicated.
Okay, I'm sorry we have to finish, and thank you very much again. Next speaker is Mario Fitcher. Please.
If you think of reaction times as some human qualities, we would assume that they really don't have a good time because we sound like abused when you try to fit them to different models, put them in different bins, use optimization procedures, you know. So some of those kind of stories, you know, that you know, some people report they're being abducted by aliens. It was a really tough time. So but this approach, you know, does require model optimization, how it fits to arrive to conclusions, what is underlying cognitive structure operating in certain tasks. And we will show you, know, if you don't abuse reaction times, you then start to dance. You can be happy. And this dance, we call this a sneak wiggle. And this is a scientific reaction to Harlem Shake, probably the best way you know, we can describe. Now, I see what's going on. This is work by John Daniel Little, University of Melbourne, who was able to arrive. So in general, we start with the definition of the holistic hypothesis, and this is just general definition that actually combines many phenomena. The whole idea of holistic hypothesis is derived, you know, from the work of German scientists here by the notion of gestalt, and we know that when we see certain objects or certain phenomena, it's not simply the sum of its parts or features. And in this hypothesis is usually pitted against the analytic feature-based hypothesis, in which we see that the object perceived, the regular objects, are a simple sum of the features. What do we mean by that? Let's see this. Many phenomena that you can find across different literature dealing with this holistic effect. So for the signatures of holistic perception, and there are plenty of artists, you know, sorry if I miss, you know, someone here, but, you know, these are just random people here. Like, we have Gestalt laws, we have something that's called pop-up effect, you know, Moran was just talking about this, you know. So for example, in the context of information, some pieces, you know, will stand out, you know, they don't belong to the context, what is the background. So how do you have this, right? How do Gestalt laws actually, what's behind the Gestalt laws, right? We have something that's called part of whole paradigms. For example, the face processing. Single learned face feature is better recognized in its own context than in the newer without its context. So this is the cool part of whole paradigm. A Gardner task tried to see what happens underlying processing in several non-separable dimensions, second superiority effects, touching illusion, face inversion, unitization effect. More you learn, more you do some task, your reaction time speeds up. You know, for example, Goldstein and Baha, you know, so very impressive experiments by how subject can learn seemingly nonsense data and then start to see this information as a kind of has a good form. It stands out, it's kind of pop up effect. Stable faces, neural responses, I'll marry here, you know, probably can add more to that. Context, similar, different context effects, face perception. Now we're starting to see some measures. Also, here's the supercapacity index. This index is actually ratio of processing and indicates that presence of holism, if actually by increasing the number of processing features, your reaction time or accuracy increases too, which is kind of counterintuitive, but it may happen under this effect. And finally, what you pay most attention is this coactivation signature. If the signature we use, reaction time signature we use to recognize the presence of co-activation, it's a very strong signature of holistic process. Now let me get more the details. Will you be employing system factor technology? Some of you probably are familiar with it, some of you are not. Well, too close certain concepts, you know, you can go back and revise certain literature. Just to say that this methodology has been worked out by prominent researchers here, such as Jagger, Schweikert, Jim Townsend. And it's been refined recently to learn more about the processes. And here's what we see is a catalog of possible mental architecture. On the left-hand side, we can see their names, serial, self-terminating, serial-exhaustive, parallel, self-terminating, parallel-exhaustive, coactive architecture. Here we have how do they actually look like. Let's say that we have to process two features, only two-phase features. So how do we combine this information? And here what we see, like how do we believe, you know, this system, what kind of the characteristics of the system in terms of analytic holistic processing. For example, let's say that we have to process eyes and lips, and if this is a serial self-terminating system, you will process only eyes, and if it's strictly serial system, we'll switch, you know, the lips and go to the decision here. Make it. This is serial self-terminating system, serial exhaustive, you process both of them. Serial parallel self-terminating, so-called horse race model, we assume that we process both features at the same time, the first one reaches the decision criteria, decision gate wins, and determines what the answer is. And para-exhaustive, we see that most of these architectures are either considered to be analytic, because they have features clearly separated from each other, independent, statistically, stochastically independent, except, you know, they're combined this gate. But it's not quite sure, maybe whether holistic processing involves exhaustiveness. You have to process both items, you know, some research you can still tell that. However, this architecture, we believe strongly, is associated with a holistic phenomena, which is in parallel process two features, eyes and lips, but they are funneled together at one point and then combined into a single joint feature. And that feature gives a rise, you know, to the answer. So like a grandmother feature, I would also call it exemplar model, you know, may hold similar prediction. And this will identify as a strong holistic process. So how do we figure out what is underlying cognitive architecture in the test? So for that, we take a look at the signatures of a survival interaction and contrast. So SIC signatures, we get the signature, we use the survival functions. I'm going to show you how to do this. You know, maybe this point is best for you just to take this as a signature, right, of indicator of something going on.
So we see that this is a flat function here. This SSE is a flat function. Here's the time, and here's a function value. So this is a flat function for this kind of architecture. It's negative positive for this one. It's only positive for parallel sector, meaning it's negative for parallel exhausted. For coaxial, it's negative, then positive. So we have different signatures associated with a distinct classification. We'll pay attention to this one, like as you would like to see this in a holistic phenomenon gives rise. Now I think this is the task we called this paper 2010. How do we use the surviving interaction conscious function? Well, for that, you know, we have designed a stimulus configuration space with these two phase categories, two phase members. These are sharks and jets. They're linearly separate outline, linearly separate independent dimensions, lips positions, and eye separation. Your task is to learn and to classify these guys from these guys. One face is presented at time. Very simple task. The thing is, these four cases here will be used, you know, to get this surviving interaction contrast. Low means this thesis here means saliency of an independent feature. Low for the eye separation, high on the side separation. That is actually the distance of this particular feature from this bound. Further, that feature is from the bound, high, the faster processing is. That works both in rule-based and exemplar-based systems. So actually, that person means, you know, that features are further away from the other members, the competing members, group members. So low means both features are processed slowly, and we have combination of this too. So we have practically factorially combination of feature saliency. Feature 1, feature 2, factorially combined. We get four conditions, and we pay attention only to these cases. We run the experiment. We collect reaction time, the distributions. You put it like a histograms, for example, like they look like this. And from there on, we turn it into survival functions. Survival functions, it's a 1 minus cumulative distribution function. And it actually, it is a probability that we haven't still yet finished processing yet. It looks like something like this. So survival function goes from 1 and ends up, you know, in 0 over time. Why survival function, someone you might say, and in one of the first talk we could see the actual integral or the area under this curve is actually the same as the mean reaction time. So what we do with these survival functions, we combine them, and we combine them in this form, we calculate the double difference of these surviving functions. So far, all the steps are very easy to conduct on the computer, and we apply double difference between these two conditions, between these two conditions, and as a result, you know, we got the signature. And this is the signature in this particular case, negative SSE function, which, if you can remember, belongs to parallel exhaustive process for this particular case. That was a short tutorial on how to attack. It's very simple. It doesn't require any, you don't see parameter, there's no modifier. Still, we can conclude something. All right, so we apply this approach in this experiment. And this is the part of the whole paradigm. Actually, that is the situation in which the mean reaction time is the fastest. Recognition of a particular phase feature was fastest in its own old phase, in its own context of a phase. And when we analyze survival interaction function, it looks like this. You know, so it's negative, then positive. If you remember, this is a coactivation. We believe it is holism here present. Subjects really did work a lot, you know, to get to this point. This was the test phase. Now, the question is, can you provide a stronger validation of that? Maybe it just happened haphazardly, maybe you didn't have enough trials. The idea is, yes, we can test this. Actually, we can see what happens during learning, right? And we can just assume that during learning, maybe we switch from one type of processing to another one, start to build up, you know, this coactivation along the road. And what we're going to present you is dynamical signature of holism. So that's the idea. We have a new signature that add, you know, to the existing set of signatures. We call the dynamical SSE signature. This is a so-called state vehicle. Now, if the computer is probably running faster, you see there's a lawful change of this SSE function starting from being overly negative to become overly positive. You know, wiggles like a snake, you know? Nothing like this. Right, we can practice that. The computer obviously, you know, hiccups, but and if you look, you know, what happens over the course of learning, exactly, we start with, it looks like parallel exhaustive. Parallel exhaustive, then we have this swing, and then it looks like serial exhaustive, right, according to this function. Again, a little bit parallelity here, then some of coactivity, and that's how, what happens with this signature. If you put in a simulation, in a, it looks like, you know, the function wiggles. So the data can play itself. You don't have to fit it, you know, the results, you know, can indicate something. The idea is what happens, right? Why this happens, and can we explain in a better way why, how do we get this, you know, typical signature? Does it really indicate there's a tendency to build up coactivation over the course of learning? So if you calculate the area under the curve, which indicates, you know, here's a very high R square, we got, you know, the actually the linear trend of going from negative to positivity, indicating, you know, going from a highly negative function to a coactive graphic function. Another trend that is could be observed is a mean reaction time trend, that reaction time goes down as well as errors as a function of learning. This is another signature you usually find in unitization experiments where you're getting better and better as you practice. So as this function starts to wiggle, reaction time goes down as well as the number of errors. So we have all these signatures. We have robustness, you know, all subjects actually wiggle. This is individual subject analysis. We saw that the end of the line usually what we observe is coactivation, not necessarily for some subjects. We have performance superiority, introspection indicate that subjects are really reporting they're seeing faces, not set of two features. And that was, we see converging evidence here. Can we make it stronger? How am I with time?
That's fine. Yeah. 6 minutes.
I'm not a neuroengineer. Can we make it stronger? In matter of fact, yes. The reason of the whole research is because we revised the old data is that, you know, remember we pay attention to these guys, but now after some revision and work of Lasowski and Little, this is like a new paper, we analyzed, compared the rule-based models with example-based models in various forms of rule-based models that involve different forms of architecture, serial and parallel, and even proactive. So the idea is that we would like to analyze the rest of the GANs. So by comparing these two guys and these two guys, actually can learn more about the underlying process. So how is that? Without going into much details, the results indicated we published in this paper that serial and parallel or exhaustive models would predict, for example, that this exterior member, this guy, is faster than interior member. Right, that holds in this case, if subjects are using kind of rule-based system, right? If he's using, yes. And the parallel self-terminating model we use, you know, will predict that reaction times are equal, and coactive model will predict that exterior memory is slower than interior memory. So there's a lawful change of this contrast mean reaction time of the other category members. And so we decide, oh, let's check this, you know, right? We all have this converging evidence. This should converge too, otherwise everything is wrong. So here it is. For this particular subject, we see that difference between exterior and interior member increases as a matter of practice, as we can see, that indicates, you know, going to coactivity in the end of the line. It started with a probably serial parallel exhaustive according to this prediction, but will end up, you know, coactive. And this trend is our average over many subjects. So it's not, you know, even for a specific subject. So what is a possible causal mechanism that could be used to explain total this set of data? Here's we believe, you know, that some kind of holism fire kind of machine that you can either consciously or unconsciously turn this knob and it can change between feature detection to more holistic perception. Right? And it looks like something like this. We proposed this model earlier. We have two phase feature detectors. Let's say feature one, feature two, evidence is accumulated, noise is added here, until it reaches threshold, you know, then both features are needed to be processed here. What happens, this is a parallel exhaustive model, but if you add this twist here, which is a crosstalk between channels, this is cross-facilitation, which kind of corresponds to this, changing of the dials of a level of holism, the system could exhibit, you know, that behavior going from feature light to holistic process. That's the idea, and we can test this idea. Actually, there is some model fitting stage, and it's currently going on. Dan is working on me too on several computers running around the globe, you know, trying to fit the data. Okay, so the state, we're trying But this is a dynamical signature of holistic perception. So dynamical signature. So far, we could see all tons of interesting indicators of not actually very static. Right? This is a dynamic. Let's let direction time plays itself, and we see the game going on. There's a conversion evidence from other sources. Superiority, robustness, introspection with data. The entire single set wiggles, so it's not only limited to one subject. If you take a look at other subjects, they start to wiggle too. Some of them don't wiggle that good, but you know they start to wiggle at a certain point. And plausible trusted models, we see the dynamical model accumulation. We already worked on this model, and it's been a model that's been around. So we believe by changing these kind of levels of crosstalk, we can switch, you know, between these different kind of a plethora of, we can explain this shape of a reaction time big one time.
We have about 2 minutes for questions.
In some of the response time model analysis of practice effects, you get this sort of change in not just sort of the potential information integration or accumulation rate. You get other factors like how long it takes to press buttons, the thresholds that people set change over the sessions as well. And I wonder, since this is sort of a non-parametric approach, how do you know, it's not those things that, and rather than this sort of.
The question is what do you do with some other non-manipulated factors that are something like constant residual time? And this method is pretty much ignorant to what happens to these times, because what happens with these levels is random fluctuation add up the same amount of noise across all different four conditions. So when you run the analysis, it doesn't matter whether your time is faster or slower or something, I would say, change in that sense across the learning. But it could be, when fitted by model, maybe it could be captured. Yes?
A minor point, when you're listing all the other things, the ways of showing holistic perception, in my unbiased opinion, one of the best other ways is Schifrin and Lightfoot, which you might want to add to your list that we were able to show that three separable features change the coalescence of one.
How could I forget this paper? So really, I mean, I don't know. This is really an abrupt paper in the field.
Okay, so in order not to deprive the next speaker of valuable time, thank you very much.